There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to GamertagRadio.com or PodFest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 714. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start with Pete. Pete, what's up, man?
What up?
And I'm muted. Mm-hmm. I'm muted.
It's funny because I'm talking, but like I keep forgetting I'm muted on Discord. So it's like you might as well just do it like moving forward.
Do it over?
I should always, right, no, just always be muted. Just whatever.
All right. So Pete, what's up, man? What's going on?
I actually woke up in a really good mood. Yesterday was a really good sports day. Stayed home, watched the University of Miami.
Yeah.
Win. It's a great night of UFC action. Played Monopoly with David and Mandy on Switch. It's a really good day. I'm good.
Awesome. Awesome. And also we have Paris in the house. Paris, what's up?
So I got to tell this story. So last night I go out to dinner with my wife, some friends, and you know, we're all out with some people that we don't know as well, right? You know, drinks may or may not have been flowing a little bit. My wife decides to announce in the middle of dinner to all these people, she goes, you know, my husband does podcasts and he streams on Twitch and he does YouTube videos and all that. His Twitter name is Vicious696 and it's called Gamertag Radio. And I'm just sitting there like, are you kidding me? Did you really just put me out on blast right now? Everyone the rest of the night wants to ask me about gaming and all this stuff. And here's my thing. In public, I don't talk about it that much. Obviously, social media, people know who I am, whatever. That's great. But like when I just roll up on random people, because not everyone's into gaming. And some people, you know, it's like, what is this? And I have to spend like freaking 2 hours trying to explain it. So, yeah, that was my night last night. I was like, I cannot believe she just freaking did this.
Isn't that your comfort zone, though? Isn't that an easier icebreaker than having to have those awkward random conversations, though?
Well, but then it turns the entire conversation in to be about me and what I do, and I don't like to do that. You know, I like
lines.
When I'm meeting,
you love that when it's all about you. Come on, let's be real.
Really is enhanced telling me how I feel. No, all jokes aside, I mean, people I don't know, I don't like to do that. I really don't, you know. And then, like I said, for the next hour, that's all it was about, was gaming and what's a podcast and what's a stream and what's a Twitch and this and that. And oh, my son plays the Call of Duties and all. I was like, oh God, I don't want to talk about this. So
but wait, that was my name. It just came up out of nowhere?
Yeah, because she was drinking. That's why she was drinking.
She was in a good mood. I'm proud of Paris. He's a streamer.
Yeah.
It's just 696. Yeah, I'm a little tired, guys. Everyone, sorry, I just got back from the West Coast. But yeah, Paris, you're going to say something?
I've been a great gaming week. I mean, it's really been just, you know, just this bag of riches. Like no matter what mood I'm in, there's like some great new game that I can play right now. So it's been good.
That's cool. And also Xbox One X comes out this week. Hopefully we can talk about that in a few.
I have a statement on that too.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You start with that. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. We're everywhere. Make sure to tune in, subscribe, follow us, and spread the word.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's go with the Xbox One X conversation. It's coming out in a couple of days?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading a lot of people, you know, posting about, you know, they're excited about the console and everything, but they're like, man, these files are so big. They're so large. And I'm like, but it's been going on for a very long time. And on the PC side, like, I'm kind of used to it because I always hear it from Paris and Pete. So it's like, it's nothing new to me. But a lot of people that have never experienced that, it's like, my God, they're complaining about these file size and everything. But remember back then when the new games for the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, the files were so large, people were not used to that. They complained about that. And now this is like the next thing now about file size. So what are your thoughts about that? Because I'm like kind of like, whatever. I'm not.
Here's the thing. It's just like they're saying, the fact that you have these huge file sizes, forget which review I watched, you're talking about. I mean, you basically could only get 6 to 7 games on your hard drive if they're all the big 4K titles. So that does become a problem because it comes down to game management at that point. You're going to have to buy a huge external hard drive, things like that. So, yeah, you can get a few games on there and play them, and that's fine. But as you start adding to your library, you know, you're going to have to buy additional accessories to it, or you're just going to have to start juggling games around. So in that sense, it'd have been nice if they had a 2 terabyte hard drive in the Xbox One X, but I understand why there's a 1 terabyte, because you're trying to keep the cost down as much as possible, you know, and the fact that it's even $500 right now, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I still think that's a bargain at that price, considering what the Xbox One X can do.
Well, also remember what Albert Pinello said earlier this week when we had him on the show. You actually get a performance gain by moving the games to the external hard drive versus doing them local on the machine. So it's not all, I mean, and that's counter to what I actually thought. You know, I was under the impression that, you know, keeping them local to the machine so that they're on the actual system bus would have been a lot faster with, you know, IOPS or read times, et cetera. But, you know, hearing that opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, I need to maybe start juggling games and moving them over to my external. Because I've, like I said in the interview, I always move all my lesser or games that I don't touch very often to the external and keep, you know, any games that I'm actively or currently playing on the Xbox One on the local hard drive. So now I've got to spend a whole day juggling things around and moving things to the external and maybe moving things on the external off of it. But like you were talking about sizes, hell, Quantum Break Enhanced is 178 gigs.
That's a lot.
You know,
yeah,
and then
that's a lot.
For an older game, yeah. I know, you know, one of, you know, our mod Arctic was mentioning that it's 100 gigs for Forza. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 104, 105 for Gears of War. So that's, you know, I mean, I'm not surprised simply because you're adding so much more in the way of assets and whatnot for these games. But yeah, I mean, it makes more sense. And now the way technology is moving, there's still parts of me that wishes I could go and just slap in a 1 terabyte solid state into the Xbox One, you know, and have that as an option. But I get it. You know, Microsoft is trying to control the environment and trying to control the ecosystem itself, the hardware component of it, so they know what they can deliver to consumers.
Yeah, and also keeping it cheap, man, too. You know, so but it's crazy how many people just got this system early. It, you know, with the review kits and then adding the winners of Taco Bell, it's a lot of people, man. That's a lot. So, but it's smart because now everybody's talking about this system before it launches, you know? So I never got that vibe from like PlayStation 4 Pro. I think only with the PlayStation Vita, because a lot of people got it early because they had a giveaway and they got it early for review, but that's about it. But PlayStation 4 Pro, I never got to see that, you know? So, but Paris, I know behind the scenes, we were talking like, you said that you might get it, then you said no, and then you were like going back and forth. Now that the system is coming out, you made your final decision, or you're still kind of like, let's see what's up?
No, I made my I made my final decision, and my final decision is to not get it right away. Definitely not in 2017. And the reason being is it's like I had to logically think about it, because there was three different times last week I had an Xbox One X in my cart, be it at Best Buy or Amazon. At Amazon, no, Best Buy, I had actually bought it. Like, I bought it and I was like, oh, I'm going to get it. And then I thought about it. I was like, no, and then I cancel it, you know?
yeah.
And my reason was, I had to think of it this way. I game here in this room. This is where I primarily game. I do not game out in the family room where Trey games. You know, there's not a 4K TV in there. And the more I thought about it, it's like, you know, I got a 1080 Ti. I have a PC that can do and surpass what an Xbox One X can do as far as 4K frames per second, that whole thing, right? And with Xbox Play Anywhere, I don't need an Xbox. And, you know, and I've talked about this many times leading up to the launch. You know, and that's why I said, honestly, as much as I love Play Anywhere, probably for the best of Xbox, I should get rid of it, in my opinion, because I would have bought an Xbox One X if they didn't have Play Anywhere, as an example. It just didn't make sense for me to have one, because that would mean I would have an Xbox One X in here with the PS4 Pro and my PC. It's just being redundant at that point. I don't need that extra piece of hardware here, despite all the and honestly, it was the reviews. It was watching Digital Foundry and GameSpot and IGN and GamesRadar and all these guys talk about it. And the more I'm reading about it, the more impressed I am with the tech. Trust me, this is nothing against what's under the hood for Xbox One X. It's going to be amazing. And like I told Albert on the last episode, I'm very excited to see what it's going to be able to do next year. You know, when the holiday games come out in 2018, because now developers have had over a year of development time with these, you know, with these games. But I just don't need it for me. And I'm the unicorn in that scenario. I'm a very rare edge case. I get it. For the average person, console gamer, if you can afford the $499, don't even hesitate. Go get it. That's not even a question. But for me right now, I just don't have a need for it. Because what would happen is I'd get it. It'd be out in my living room. And it'd be connected to my 4K TV out there. The 4K Blu-ray is great. You know, I have my Plex. I could probably stream some 4K stuff, you know, via Plex app, all that. That would be great. But I'm not taking full advantage of it, despite it being $500. And trust me, that's a value. You're not building a PC for that price that can do what the Xbox One X can do. So as excited I am about it, as I'm very excited for Danny to get it. I can't wait till Danny gets it and starts talking about it and playing it. Like, what I did do was I fired up Gears of War 4 the other night, and I was playing that. Max it all out. 4K Ultra. I was over 60 frames. It was amazing on that 1080 Ti, right? And I'm like, see, this is it. When people on Xbox One X start playing that and they see what I'm seeing right now, they're going to be hooked and there's going to be no going back. The only thing I'm missing right now is Gears of War 4 on PC doesn't support HDR. And I don't have an HDR monitor here in the office, which I hope to correct soon. But that's probably the only thing I'm missing that the Xbox One X can do versus my PC is HDR stuff. Other than that, I mean, I'm good. So I know I was long-winded, but I wanted to be crystal clear, because I could see the tweets coming already, because I had jokingly tweeted about I had Amazon in my cart, help, you know, about Xbox One X. And I swear every other response was get one, don't get one, get one, don't get one. I knew you was going to get one. That's all everybody said. So I just want to be clear on that. So I'm done. I'll stop talking.
Didn't Digital Foundry said that Gears of War 4 is like the best one when it comes to HDR?
Yes.
Out of all
the
games?
It has the best implementation of HDR of any game they've seen.
For those that are not familiar with the terms, right? Can you go 50,000 foot view and just give the listeners an explanation as to how HDR makes things look and appear better?
It's going to really it's going to pop the colors, pop the whites as far as brightness goes. It's really going to give you that extra level of detail, you know, in a, say you're watching like a sunrise or something in a game, you're really going to see the different levels of color come in there, be it the blacks, the whites, and obviously just the overall color palette, you know, with like the yellows and everything that they're going to put in there. That's what HDR does. It gives you an enhancement beyond just what you would normally see color wise. You know, it makes everything very detailed and stand out on different levels. So that's it's kind of the simplest way to put it. Horizon Zero Dawn, as an example, because I played that in HDR, fantastic. You could see the difference if you turn HDR off versus having it on in certain scenes.
Okay.
I played Uncharted 4 in HDR as well. Not as much, but I'm very curious to see what Gears 4 would look like, you know, since Digital Foundry saying it's the best implementation they've seen. So it must really stand out, because, you know, you can watch the videos on YouTube, but unless you have a Chromecast Ultra or I think a Samsung TV with the YouTube app in it, it won't show you the video in HDR. So like if you just watch it normally on your set right now, even if it's in 4K, it's not going to show it to you in HDR. So trust me, I'm very curious to see it myself. And then Danny, your 4K TV does HDR, right?
Yep, it does.
Yeah, so you'll be able to do a direct comparison when you get your Scorpion next week or this week.
Yes. Well, I haven't heard that word in a while. Scorpion. No, but I'm definitely going to take my time and I have to decide which games I want to play in 4K. I don't want every game, you know, because I'm not going to have enough space. But I'm definitely going to pick a few, like Gears of War 4. Assassin's Creed, definitely going to do that. Also, you know, I just received a code for Call of Duty. I'm going to try to download that too. Just a couple of games to see how it is. So we'll go from there slowly. And once I'm done, I could just delete it and it'll still be on my profile. I could re-download it, if anything, in the future. So that's cool. Definitely would do that. All right, so let's go to different topics here. The first one, which is great, Super Mario Odyssey becomes Nintendo's fastest selling Super Mario game ever in the US. And I believe there was also another press release, same thing in Europe, but it sold more than 1.1 million units in the US alone within just 5 days. That is insane. And it's going to still sell more during the holidays and everything. So, you know, there's people that are just buying the digital version, the physical version, or they'll even buy the bundle version, which P is one of the people that bought the whole thing, right?
Guilty.
The console. So
guilty as charged.
It's crazy. And it looks like that the Nintendo Switch is going to outsell the Wii U. The whole, like, lifespan, they're going to do this in less than a year. So that's insane, man. That's crazy how people are buying this device, and it's not even the holidays yet, which is scarier too, man. You know, so be on the lookout. I'm telling you, man, they are going to take over the holidays, man, more than PlayStation and more than Xbox. I think still been saying that for months, and it's going to happen for sure, man. So congrats to them, man. That's awesome, man. Your thoughts, guys?
No, it is, and it's well deserved. It's gonna be my game of the year. I can tell you that right now. I know it. Because I've not had as much fun playing a video game this year as I've had with Mario Odyssey. And I don't, like I've said before, I don't get to play it as much as I want because it's like I got to get another Switch or something because damn kids keep taking it, right? It's like literally I only get to play it when I stream it. And every time, anyone that's been in the stream when I'm playing, I have a dumb smile on my face. And it's like making mistakes in there with an audience watching you, like I honestly, I have a bead of sweat going down my head. I'm like, oh dear baby Jesus, let me make this jump, because if I don't, people are going to laugh at me, you know, stuff like that. But it's fun. I love the discovery in it. I love just the back and forth integration of going from 3D to 2D and just everything that's involved with Mario Odyssey. So I'm not shocked at all with it hitting these numbers, and I expect it to be an absolute monster during this holiday season, because it's a game that everybody can play. It's not just meant for the quote unquote hardcore people, or it's some complex shooter, or you need to learn mouse and keyboard or anything like that. It is, you pick up, you look, they give you three different ways to actually control it, you know, with a controller. You pick it up, you take it with you anywhere you go, you can plug it into a TV, anything you want to do. Like I said, it is inspired my wife and my oldest daughter, who do not play games. I saw them in the other room. They'd hooked up the NES Classic and they were playing old school Mario. And that only happened since me and the other kids started playing Mario Odyssey and they saw how much fun we're having. So I think that's going to be the common theme globally with people. They're just going to see that this is just a fun ass game. Why not? Pick it up and play it.
I think part of that is the nostalgia factor of people in our age group. You know, we've got that history with the Nintendo, what? In this particular case, the Mario franchise, right? So, you know, it's like we remember those good times of playing the games back in the day and, you know, whether it be in the Tanuki suit or just, you know, the old school, the OG, you know, the original Super Mario Brothers. Like I've seen the excitement is still there for me. My son already beat the game, so he doesn't bother me as much. So, you know, I get to actually play it a little bit more now than I did last week. My daughter still has the excitement. I still haven't seen the wife play it, but I know it's on the horizon for her just because, you know, she's just waiting for the excitement to die down so that she can just sit there and throw time at it. It's funny because last night I was playing Monopoly on the Switch with David and Mandy. And at one point, all jokes aside with regards to the crappy app that you have to download for stuff. So we were actually talking over Discord. So I had, and my phone wasn't charged, so I couldn't use my phone. So I actually plugged into my iPad on Discord so we can chat. And then I had to go do something with my son. And my son, and I'm like, you know, he's asking me, and I'm like, I can't go anywhere. I'm playing. He's like, Dad, just pick it up. You know, he's like, it's mobile. It's not like you're stuck on the couch and you can only be here. You're stuck in your office and you're stuck at your desk. Just pick it up. Just grab it. Walk away. You know, that's one of the great things about it is you can just slap the controllers onto the side, the Joy-Cons onto the side, and just walk away and just keep on playing. And like Paris was saying, and I've said it before, when playing it, you just have this crap-eating grin on your face because it's just so silly and fun. And I mean, when you're in Super Mario mode and you shake. Hit the I think it's the triggers or the bumpers, and you just start rolling down the hills, and it's just like, how can you not smile or laugh at that? I mean, this is hilarious. You know, this is funny. Like, that's your movement. You're just gonna just like, oh well, I'm just gonna roll down the hill and just bounce and roll. You know, and it's funny. We're just talking about it. We all have silly grins on our face. That just goes to show, you know, what Nintendo has done. And I mean, hell, here's my late pass, you know, you know, yeah, I took the L. I was wrong. You know, the Switch is it, you know, so I have a lot of fun with it. It's great.
I can't wait to play, you know, some online games with you guys. So I can't wait for that, man. So, all right, let's go with the next topic. And I think this is going to create a great long conversation about the changes that's going on over there at GameStop. So they're launching an unlimited used game rental subscription, which surprised me because I wasn't expecting an announcement like that from GameStop. So I know before we started recording, Paris wanted to say something. He's like, no, you know what? I'm going to save it for the podcast. I have a lot of things to say about this. So Paris, go for it, because I'm very curious to see what was it you wanted to say before we started recording about
what I was going to say. And I can't believe these words are about to leave my lips, but I really like this program from GameStop. I really do. I think this is a genius program for them because they're getting people back in the store. They're giving you an incentive with the subscription plan. For the used games, you get to keep whatever used game you want to get to keep it played as long as you want. And at the end of 6 months, whatever the last used game that you check out, you get to keep it. So you could actually plan around that. If you had some really great game that you played that you played, make this sure that's the last game you have, you get to keep it. Genius plan, in my opinion. I would love to see more stores actually take advantage of this. I guarantee you, Amazon's going to do something. I can so see Amazon doing something around this as well. But this is a very smart move by them. I like it.
Yes, it's a great idea because for $60, you have the option of playing as many used games as possible. I question whether $60, if let's say you only pick up one game, at that point you've borrowed a used game and you're buying it for $60 after the 6 month period, right? So is it really, does the math really jive on that?
Think of it this way. If you pick up three games in it, because I'm saying a whole year, so $120, three games an entire year, and two of those games you get to keep, you it just paid for itself. I think it's great, but you're using it. If you pick up three games in a year for $120, play them all the way to the end. At the end of the 6 month, you get to keep one of the games, right? And then let's say you just pick up one more game the last 6 months, you get to keep that game too at the end of that year. You've just made your $120 back. And that's doing bare minimum, because remember, you can go back and forth and pick up different games.
As long as while you're in inventory. There. Let's just put the caveat in there. As long as it's available in inventory at the store.
It's GameStop though. There's going to be one around your area that's going to have something in stock, most likely. Maybe not the second you walk in there day one, but within a week or two. But that's my point. Let's just say you pick up, let's be realistic. Let's say you pick up six games in a year for $120. That just paid for itself. And two of those games you get to keep. I'm all for it. I think this is a great idea. I really do.
I mean, they had no other choice. They have to start doing new things because, you know, more people buying digital games, it's hurting their business. So I think this is going to help them big time. And a lot of the young gamers don't know about this, but back then when Blockbuster started doing this type of thing that you could rent games at the stores and everything, Nintendo and Sega didn't like that at all. They even took them to court because of that. They were losing money because people were not buying their games at the store. They would just go and rent these games at Blockbuster and other places and stuff. So eventually Blockbuster won, right? And now everybody started doing this throughout the years and stuff. But now we're used to it. But back then, it was something totally different and new. So I know that there's been a couple of people on Twitter saying, that is from the industry, saying, oh, this is going to hurt the industry. You know, that's more way for these stores to make more money, and we're not getting money out of this and everything. So there's the good and there's the bad, but you know, times is always going to change, man. Things like this is always going to pop up and change. And this, yeah, it might help the industry, but as a consumer, I think it's a great thing, because we're also going to be saving a lot of money too, man. You know, so that's why the more you see loot boxes is because of situations like this. You know, the companies and publishers are not making extra money, so they have to start doing new things too, man. So I know at first a lot of us are gonna complain about it, but we just got to get used to it, man. You know, so.
you know what's funny, because I was just watching a video the other day which went through the history of Xbox, and that launch in 2013 came up, and they just went through all the quotes and just everything that was happening around then, and it reminded me, and we've talked about this over the years, I was actually all for what Microsoft was trying to do back then. And what you're talking about, what we're seeing right now today, is why they were trying to do that back in 2013. They were trying to push everyone towards digital, because once you go digital, that eliminates this whole second market of used games. Now, look, as a consumer, we win, because this is what we want, right? We want that flexibility, get a used game at a cheaper price, things like that. But from a business standpoint, that's what I'm looking at this as. From a business standpoint, this is why Microsoft wanted to do that, because then they got to control that narrative as far as you picking up games on the secondhand market. Because remember, they had the whole game sharing thing and, you know, the family thing and all that. So, and there was some kind of limited thing they were going to be able to do with picking up a used game, so to speak, right? But now the publishers were controlling that, versus right now where the secondhand market, you know, Best Buy, Amazon, GameStop, they control it. And this is just another step in them controlling it even more, because they're now giving you more incentive to go pick up a used game. And we know used games are still going to be a thing, because a lot of people will buy, I don't know, let's just take Assassin's Creed Origin as an example, or Wolfenstein is probably a better one. They'll pick up Wolfenstein 2, they'll play through it, and then, all right, I'm done with Wolfenstein, there's nothing left for me to do. Then they go trade it in, you know, for freaking $5 or whatever GameStop's going to screw you out of. And then Pete's going to come behind him, you know, a week later with his new subscription. And then he's going to go pick up Wolfenstein 2 as a part of their subscription plan. And that's how this thing's going to work. And like you said, Danny, this is why the loot boxes and microtransactions and all this stuff will continue to exist, because on the top level, on the publisher level, they got to still figure out a way to give you and to make money. and this is how they're going to make money, because a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there's a good handful of people that will not buy a game brand new. They wait until it's used and pick it up cheaper, like me, because I'm cheapskate.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You know, we just gotta get used to this, man. It's gonna come. It's gonna happen. There's things in the future that probably new things are gonna pop up, and we're probably not gonna like it at first. But believe it or not, there's gonna be a lot of others that they do love it, and they're gonna support it. You know, so I don't know. I think this is a great move from them, from GameStop, and they need to do that because they're hurting right now, man. A lot of more people are buying digital games, and every time you buy a bundle, you don't get the physical game anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a digital code.
Yep.
It's things are changing, man. So.
Do we recall what Danny's position was on digital a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when Paris and I were talking all digital, go digital, go digital? Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. Digital. Did you?
I said digital, and what happened? A listener, I said digital is the future. I can't wait for next gen. I'm gonna start downloading all my games. I said that, and there was a listener that sent a long email hating on it, and even went to iTunes and gave a bad review just because I said that digital is the future. He got so mad about that. He's like, no, it's not fair. You know, I like to buy my games, and I love to sell my used game so I could buy the next one, you know, mm-hmm. which I understand, but it's the truth. Like, I download digital apps, digital movies, everything through my tablet, phones, other devices, same thing with games. This year, I mean, this generation, I've been downloading more games than ever, more than the previous generation. So, it is the future.
The only thing I see, I don't want to say difficulty, and it's a bad word for it. The only thing I see that counters that is backwards compatibility, right? I mean, unless you have it physically downloaded or you have access to that, it's kind of hard to go back. Like, let's say if you wanted to play Viva Pinata, because I know that's one of your favorite games from the old 360 time. If you wanted to play that on your Xbox One X in a couple of weeks, right? So you just wanted to go for that nostalgia factor. Granted, I know you have the 360 at home, but you would have to go and plug it in and rearrange connections in the back of your TV. Because you have the disc from 8, 9, 10 years ago, you could just throw that into the Xbox One X and be able to play it, provided you downloaded the backward compatibility component for that game. If you were digital, you may not have that option. You know what I mean?
Like what? Like I have the digital version. I bought the digital for that. So I don't
know. For Viva Pinata?
Yeah. Yeah. I purchased the digital version.
I'm just using it as an example. Let's say you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, if you didn't have the digital version, you have no footprint to say, yeah, I've already purchased this. So you would, if you wanted to play Viva Pinata, you'd have to go and pay for it theoretically. Whereas had the disc, you could just slap it in and play it. That's the only counter to the all digital discussion, is if you don't have it and you wanted to have that experience, you'd have to go and buy it, right? Like or kind of similar to what's, you know, Nintendo has been doing to its customers is, now, just because you have it from, 1992, doesn't matter. You're going to have to pay for it again.
Yeah, but it's like this. Nintendo, they've been known to do that. You know, every generation, they release the same virtual console games, and you have to repurchase through different consoles every single time it comes out. I've done it for the Wii. I've done it for the Wii U. I've done it for the 3DS. And most likely, I might do it again for the Nintendo Switch, just because I want to have it. And the good thing about Xbox is once you download a digital game under your account, you could re-download it again, so you don't have to buy it again. But Nintendo, they're every time they release a new game, you have to re-download it every single time and pay. So,
but they get the free pass and it's okay.
I know, right? But with Xbox or PlayStation, hey, it's like torches and protests. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, so that's good. For those that are listening, let us know, are you planning to do this? Are you planning to subscribe? And one question for you guys: do you think it's going to hurt Redbox? You think it's going to hurt them?
I mean, potentially. I mean, could. It could. But the thing about Redbox is convenience, because there's usually one like right up the street from you somewhere at your local CVS or grocery store or something like that. So for the parents, there may just be the convenience of, I'm just going to go to Redbox, and they're not going to drive all the way to GameStop. GameStop versus, going there. So, I mean, we'll see. It'll be a kind of a wait and see kind of thing. See how this plays out over the next year or two.
The bad thing about Redbox is when you rent the game, sometimes you open it and it's like a piece of paper there instead of the disc. So you have to contact customer support for them to give you your money back and everything. It's like, oh man, that's horrible. But yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if Best Buy, they planning to announce the same exact thing too. I wouldn't be surprised about that.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio.
Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, so there was a leak, and again, this is a rumor/speculation/leak, and the source is 4chan, so let's just put that out in the wide open first and foremost before we go into further discussion, because, you know, 4chan is not the safest or the most reliable of places for news and stuff. But there was a leak that there's supposed to be a project from Rocksteady talking about a Superman game. Now, I mean, come on, you know, as soon as I read about this, I had to go all in and start researching. So looks like they've been allegedly working on a game a la the Batman Arkham, trilogy. And I mean, for those that are, you know, for those that have issues with how Rocksteady's games have come out in the past, it's done pretty well. I mean, it's, for the most part, it's a pretty good game, because the better, you know, the benefits outweigh the negatives. But when you have a titular character like Superman with those abilities, I think it makes for a great game. Now, from a comic book fan's perspective, I like it because it gives me more in that whole genre that allows me to play. I'm more of a Batman's fan than Superman anyways, but I still like that it's branching out to more characters and it's not just Batman that's getting the Rocksteady treatment. There's still more information to come. The reveal is supposed to come out later this week. So hopefully we'll see more, but how do you guys feel? Do you think we're maybe getting oversaturated with superheroes? What are your thoughts?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago, actually. Cause I was like, hey, there's a rumor that they might release a Superman game, but, Paris had a different opinion, which it opened my eyes. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It makes a lot of sense what Paris is saying, man. So you want to repeat, Paris, what you said last time?
I don't remember what did I say? I don't remember.
That you said that the reason why Superman games are never successful is because Oh, so now you know?
No, I know. Yeah. They're not successful because think about it. What can hurt them? Kryptonite. That's it. End of the game. That's it. The problem with Superman is, and this goes into the movies and everything, and Justin and John Long, be quiet because I'm going to say it. He's a god. If he's a god and there's really, he only has one weakness, and then you have like the Red Sun, there's a couple other things. The only way you can affect him is by hurting the people that he cares about. That's every storyline with him, you know, unless you turn him quote unquote evil or something, which completely destroys the whole Superman mythos. That's why he has a problem. Batman works, Spider-Man works because they're real people, you know, who are enhanced in their own ways.
Batman's and they not deal enhanced. With their
Well, yes, he is, because he's rich.
And that's enhanced.
He's a martial artist. This
and
is
he's
my
a
point.
Genius, he's not just, and he's genius level.
Yeah. Same with Tony Stark. But the point is this, before you derailed me, Peter, was that you can relate to them on a certain level. Superman is hard to relate to because, again, he's a god. And it's very hard to tell that story, in my opinion. And speaking on that, and I know I'm divulging off into something else, it's going to be curious to see how Marvel in the cinematic universe handles Captain Marvel as well, because she will suffer from a similar thing. So there you go. All right. That's my opinion.
How would you feel this being something that could potentially splinter off into either more characters? And obviously, because Rocksteady apparently has this deal with DC, potential Wonder Woman, and then maybe a Flash or Green Lantern. Trust me, I mean, Green Lantern probably be my favorite, because I would love to see like a Blackest Night, you know, video game thing, or maybe a potential Justice League video game.
I'd like to see their take on a Justice League game. Like I said, not just focusing on one character, because in my opinion, doing just Superman would be a mistake for them. I would love to see them do an ensemble where Superman is included, and then you can use Superman to do Superman type things, but then you could scale it down. You can feature the Flash, you can feature Wonder Woman, you can feature Aquaman, you know, Green Lantern Corps, etc. I would like to see their take on something like that. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, I know, like you said, the Superman thing came out rumored, but I also heard the Justice League thing too. So I guess whenever they're ready to finally announce it, we'll find out what the truth is.
Well, let's say it is Superman. Let's just say, what would you like to see that's going to change your mind on the opinion you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago about Superman?
I have no idea what they can do. And that's the thing. I have no idea what take they can do on it that's going to make me think this is going to be an enjoyable 12 to 15 hour game where I'm Superman and I'm God. But anytime I run into trouble, it's because they're throwing magic at me or kryptonite, or they hit me with the Red Sun. There's literally the only three things you can do to Superman to stop them, right? So unless they kidnap Lois Lane for 15 hours and it's basically Superman Mario Brothers and I'm going from planet to planet trying to save Lois. I don't know.
I mean, do you think it's possible for them to add some new villains or something new about Superman that we don't know, that one of his weaknesses?
Think about it. There's really only one villain that can stand with him toe to toe. And that's going to be, I almost said Apocalypse, but
Darkseid.
Darkseid. You know, that's it. I mean, you know, they can do some of those characters from Apocalypse that, you know, like Steppenwolf, things like that. But I don't know, man. He has his rogues gallery, but how do you translate the genius of a Lex Luthor manipulating him into a video game? That's what I'm saying. You know,
there's multiple, though, because you could say Doomsday, you can say Brainiac, you know, and Brainiac brings in the whole option, and apologies if we just completely railroaded this show into comic book dumb, but I'm okay with it. But I mean, if you have Brainiac, and then you can start to introduce his cousin Supergirl into it. Yeah. Hey, it's an option, right? Obviously you've got Lex Luthor. I mean, and then you have the options of bringing in, you know, Jonathan Kent, his son. And there's so many other stories, and that's why I love that comics are finally starting to grow into more of the mainstream, and that video game world is starting to, you know, hopefully get its tentacles in and start to give more. But you have a lot of options. I mean, hell, Superman 1 million is an option now. I mean, that's a relatively unknown Superman option character, but I mean, it's there, you know, like you were saying, you could bring in the Red Sun, you know, there's other things that you could do, but I mean, there's so many stories that they could go into, and use for title, you know, use for story, you know, for story arcs, that I could definitely see how this, I just hope that it just doesn't become franchise fatigue and they just start inundating us with Superman things or inundating us with, you know, 'cause then it's like, you know, and then we've got four Superman titles all up on the market. Nobody wants to play it because they're sick of it.
They had like some new information out there about Spider-Man. So let's see.
Well, let me say this. Can I say this? Because I know you're jumping into it. But this goes back to the whole Superman thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Spider-Man for this. I'm going to read this one paragraph directly from Dual Shockers when Insomniac did their stream. The players get to experience all sides of Peter's life. You can control him when he's not Spider-Man, according to Insomniac. It's really hard to tell a human story without showing the protagonist's human side. That being said, the majority of the game is about playing him as Spider-Man. That, just to take this back to Superman for just a second, to me, Clark Kent's boring. I don't really care about Clark Kent. So that's where it comes in, where it's like, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming. I love Spider-Man Homecoming because it was a Peter Parker movie, not a Spider-Man movie, right? Whereas I think that's the opportunity they can do with this game as well. You can bring in the human side of Peter Parker into the game and make that a part of the story and make it enjoyable. Whereas I think that's going to be a hard thing to do with Superman. And look, this isn't really a spoiler. This isn't a spoiler, but like even Thor Ragnarok, you hear Banner at one point say to Thor, "You're just using me to get to Hulk." Whereas I think that's the same thing with Clark Kent. You're just using Clark Kent to get to Superman because ultimately that's all you really want to see. Whereas I think it's different with Batman and a Spider-Man, whereas you're genuinely interested in Peter Parker and Bruce Wayne's human side, their alternate ego life.
But that's the thing too, Paris. Like, you're seeing that based on the stuff that we got to see through movies, of course, comics and everything. But do you think there's a chance for Rocksteady to add some new stuff there that we don't know about as a person about the character, right?
So you're going to change the canon then, is what you're saying?
No, but if let's say DC says yes, that's okay. If it's perfect with our story about him. It could work out too, man. No?
Very, very hard to have to allow a third party to affect canon like that, which is exactly why LucasArts it's exactly why Disney went out and said, whoa, everything else except for XYZ are canon. Anything outside of that isn't part of the Star Wars canon. And they even went so far as to say anything moving forward is canon. You cannot introduce anything that's non-canon. So I very, very unlikely that you're going to see someone like Rocksteady start to throw in quote unquote air quotes here, you know, canon material without the approval of the Geoff Johns and so on and so forth over at Disney or Jim Lee and those.
What about this show, like Smallville? Do you think that was, you get to know more about him than Superman? Isn't it that a perfect example of DC giving it okay for them to work on that?
But I think it's because they worked with them to be able to deliver that.
That's what I'm saying.
And he also was never able to actually put on the cape.
He did, but not fully. You only see the logo.
Well, that's my point. He was never able to fully be Superman.
Which is why, like on Gotham, Superman. You haven't seen Batman, right? It's.
I don't know. I think that I would like to know more about this whole rumor, if it's official or not. Hopefully Rocksteady will talk about it soon. Go for it.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was just going to spin it back into Spider-Man, but continue your thought.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that I'm just going to wait until they officially announce it. So we'll see. I mean, we have a lot of theories. You never know. Like, I think Rocksteady are really good at making games. So there's potential for this to be good, man. You know, I know in the past there's been a lot of like Superman games that's been kind of crappy, especially Superman 64, which has been the worst. But I know there was another game that EA worked on that came out for the Xbox 360 and I believe PlayStation 3, And that was also a flop. So we'll see. Maybe Rocksteady would change things, man. You know, I'll give them a chance. You were going to say something, Paris. It was your turn.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for you to then spin it back into me and not just stop talking in crickets. So what I was going to say was, just spinning this back to Spider-Man, pun intended, is this game, like and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but I know watching that trailer from Paris Games Week got me excited. Go, I want to play Spider-Man. That looks like a lot of fun. I love that, you know, Miles Morales is in it. You know, obviously we got Mary Jane in it. You see Kingpin in it. Norman Osborn is in it. You know, you're building up the Spider-Man universe so that they can go a few different places, not only in this game, but in future Spider-Man games as well. I love that you get that sense of you are Spider-Man in this world. You're going from building the bin. You're using your different, you know, web slinger, you know, variations on different enemies. Spidey sense comes into play. You're just literally this acrobat going through the city of New York. And it looks to be, and we'll see more, but it looks to be an actual compelling story that's coming out of this as well. So I'm very excited for it. I think this is the type of superhero game that we need moving forward. I mean, obviously Rocksteady kind of set the template on this with Batman games, so I'll be very curious to see how Insomniac, you know, pays that forward with Spider-Man. And then hell, you know, bringing even back to Superman again. It's not that I don't want Superman to be a great game. I'm just skeptical. But, you know, Spider-Man is definitely up my alley. That's something that I would be getting day one for sure.
Yeah, we should definitely bring Justin over here. He's really good when it comes to the conversation with the whole Superman and everything. Hopefully he would change your mind, Paris. Let's see.
No, you know, what's funny, Justin and I, we've had this conversation over the years. That's why I was like, I immediately like, be quiet, Justin and John, because they disagree with me on this. And they give compelling arguments as to why, you know, Superman, you know, is a fantastic character, and I obviously love them. But, you know, it's all up to opinion. I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll say this, and I know we've talked way too much about Superman, which I was not expecting. I actually enjoyed Man of Steel. I thought they were going the direction they were going, I was really digging. And I thought this would be a nice new take on Superman. Obviously, Batman, Superman, they screwed that up. Curious to see what they do with Justice League, what Joss Whedon came in and fixed. So hopefully when they do go back to Man of Steel again, you know, we can continue what they started with the original one.
All right, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
On the beach, just had a question for you guys. I was just thinking the other day about pack-in games, full-size pack-in games. Remember back in the day when you could buy a brand new system and you had a full-size game that came with it, and companies have moved away from that. Just wondering what you guys think about the reasoning behind companies doing that. I know the quick, easy answer is they could sell you a separate game and a system, probably make more money. But I thought about that. They end up doing bundles anyway. So just as easy for them to go back to doing that, I think. And then when they started taking the games out of the systems when you bought them, they had options on the shelf. They had different genres that you can buy, a fighting game, a sports game, so on and so forth, an action game. But now it seems like no packing game. And day one, you may have one game and then have to wait months for other games to come along. So just kind of wondering what your thought is on that. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't listen to the haters. You guys seem more real when you have the debates like that. I listened to another show where when one guy gets challenged, he changes his mind, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't sound real. So you guys keep it real. Thanks for answering the question. Later.
A lot. Thanks a lot for the voicemail. Pete, you there? I can't hear you.
Yep, I'm here.
He was on mute.
Yeah, because I'm working right. Things in the background here.
It's all good. So let's see. Back then, it was different when it comes to the competition. You know, I think when Nintendo released their NES, yes, they had, you know, some games that are available as a bundle that was part of the I think it was part of the robot. Remember that? It would come like a little robot, and it'll come also another one that was like for Dunk Hunt, it'll come with a gun and all that stuff. If you want to play that, or you play Mario Brothers and stuff. But throughout the years, companies is like, man, we could just release just a console and get some extra money, probably add in some demos there, you know, so people could try it out the system or anything while they decide which game they're going to buy. But things has changed, man. You know, companies have done that. And what they do is, you know, especially like Nintendo Switch, they waited throughout the whole year. Yeah, they had some bundles and stuff throughout this year and stuff. But the big one this year that just came out, which P just purchased, is the Mario Odyssey bundle with the Nintendo Switch. I think that was smart. A lot of the majority of people are going to buy that than just buy the system by itself with no games. You know, when I purchased my Switch, it had zero games. I had to go and buy Zelda separate. You know, so things have changed, man, throughout the years, man, when it comes to bundles and stuff. So that's why companies, in my opinion, I think that's why they started doing that. Have nothing in the beginning and then do quote-unquote specials later, and you download a digital game and stuff. So,
and you still have bundles. I mean, you still have them when you have AAA titles coming out and you get the title along with maybe a special wrapped, you know, console. Call of Duty has been, one that always, maybe not always, but typically does that. You get the special themed console with the title, you know, with the game. Microsoft has done that with its Xbox and the Gears of War. When they did the Star Wars tie-in, you got the R2-D2, you know, Xbox that, you know, gave you the sounds of R2 when you've powered it on and did other features. So it's still there, I would say, but it's just not as prevalent as back in the day. And also, I think manufacturers aren't as experimental, I would say. Like that, the robot, like you mentioned, Danny, I got it as a kid. I don't think I could ever get it to actually functionally work like it was supposed to. Mm-hmm. But I bought it. I mean, hell, you know, I was able to convince the parents to throw the wallet at the Nintendo product. But, you know, I think consumers are a little more wary these days about getting those things. I mean, hell, you're still sitting around here somewhere, right? And then you've got things like VR, right? Which I think is the next iteration of that bundle component. I mean, I think I read the other day that Sony's made on almost $500 million or something in extra revenue because of it. Granted, yes, that's sales of the device. And yeah, sometimes it actually it's more than the console itself. But there's always that early investor that you know, early adopters that want to get that new tech at the beginning because they want to be at the forefront of where things could potentially go. Right? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't always work out for the best for those things. But when there is a market for it. So it's just a matter of whether it makes sense or if it's, you know, if there's a positive revenue stream for the manufacturer. Because I mean, Kinect, in my opinion, worked for what it did. I think it was forced on people. But for the most part, I loved the added features that Kinect brought, right? It gave you the option to be able to turn on your TV with your voice as opposed to having to walk it up and turn it on or press the controller on the button or whatever, you know, change the channel, things like that. I dug those simple remote control features that it brought. I just don't know or think that Microsoft implemented it or did anything, you know, viable with it post launch. But yeah, I do think that there are bundle options. It's just a finicky way that consumers are with their money these days, and I don't know if it's a great thing. It's got to be something that's done well so that's not forced.
Paris?
I mean, not really too much I can add to this other than, yeah, I'm definitely not a bundle guy, so to speak, except, you know, let me back it up. I was convinced I was going to get the Nintendo Switch when Mario Odyssey came out, and I was probably going to get the bundle because you could probably save something. But I'm one of those guys that typically I'm an early adopter on a lot of those things, and you normally don't see bundles early on for that stuff. So, yeah, by the time a great bundle comes out, I've already invested in the main piece of the hardware, so it just makes no sense for me. I know Pete mentioned the original NES. I'll say this. I had Rob the Robot. And I remember that was what, Christmas 85. Literally, that's my Christmas story. When you talk about the movie, that is to this day, that is still the greatest Christmas gift I've ever gotten. Ever was when I got the NES and Rob the Robot, because I remember I wanted it and I had no clue. My mom got it, zero clue. And then when Christmas came and it was there under the tree, that was my Red Ryder BB gun, man. To this day, I still remember that. And yeah, Rob never worked, right? I remember playing Gyromite with it and you would just lose patience and you would just cheat and just move the thing over with your hand, because it's like, why wait for the stupid robot to do it? But yeah, man, yeah. To me, that probably is still the best bundle ever made, was that one, that NES bundle with Rob.
Personally, for me, I think it was the one with Dunk Hunt and Mario, because it was two games and the gun, you know, to play that. I don't know, in my opinion, because I've never gotten that bundle that you guys purchased back then. My bundle, my first time that I purchased a Nintendo was that one with Dunk Hunt and Mario. But I think originally, was it Mario, or was it...
It was Mario. It was just Mario. It was Super Mario Brothers was the original pack-in. And then the bundle was Gyromite and Duck Hunt. Because I didn't have Super Mario Brothers right away. I don't think I played Super Mario Brothers until somewhere midway through, like, 86. Mid 86, late 86, something like that. Because again, look, back in the 80s, everyone, it ain't like now we got digital, all this and internet and everything. All that stuff was like word of mouth, unless you saw something on TV or you read a magazine. And I had only heard about Super Mario Brothers. I'd never actually got to play. And I think I went to a friend's house and actually I was like, oh my God, this game is great. And then I'm pretty sure I probably begged my mom or something to actually just go out and buy it for me. And then that's when I got it, you know, and then the rest is history. Now, because I didn't hear the voicemail, so I know we had two. Was this the voicemail that, because you're talking bundles, talking about how there's no longer pack-in games?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the one thing I want to say on this one was, in my opinion, the best pack-in, just pure game, pack-in game was Super Mario World on Super Nintendo, in my opinion.
Why is that? If you don't mind me asking.
Just because at that point, the Mario franchise had matured, because this is post Super Mario Brothers 3, which, like I said, I think is the best Mario game. But Super Mario World is probably right up there. It's definitely in the top five best Mario games. And you got it for free with picking up a Super Nintendo. So in that regard, you could just pick up the Super Nintendo and probably for a good 6 months, and look, back in those days, maybe even a year, you didn't even need to go buy another game. You were good with just picking up the Super Nintendo with that game included. And and overall, call me crazy, because I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Nintendo historically has the best pack-in games. I can't think of... Xbox never had one. PlayStation never had one.
Hexen was the only game that I can think of that ever came in a console aside from a Nintendo, you know, outside of Nintendo, because that came shipped with the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I can't remember a game that was packed in with a PlayStation.
What and about Sega Genesis? No?
No. No. I mean, and, you know, I know Atari 2600 had like combat and stuff like that, but I can't remember. And I can't remember if Intellivision had one bundled in. Nope. I can't remember if
Pixel Pete was my jam on Intellivision, but I can't remember it having anything.
I just remember one, the original Wii, that it came with Wii Sports, and that helped to sell the systems like crazy.
No, it did.
Nintendo. Nintendo does it.
You're right. Now, before we go to the next question. You know what? Something that I really miss is, I mean, yeah, when you buy a digital game, you're never going to get this, but the manuals that comes inside the physical disc. I mean, now that you buy it, it doesn't even bring in no manual. It's just the game and that's it. You know, but I kind of miss that, man, because it breaks down the story about the game sometimes and everything. So I don't know. Do you miss that or no? Because I do sometimes.
Not really. I don't think I was ever really a manual guy. I used to just pick up a game and figure it out, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, because sometimes they have like some cool drawings, some cool artwork, and even a poster inside that's not available, you know? So I kind of miss that, man. That little special package inside. I don't know. I seen a lot of those back then, especially like the Super NES days. And I think... maybe Xbox, maybe, I can't remember, but I know the Super NES days, man, I used to get some cool posters from like Super Metroid and Zelda. When you buy Zelda for Super NES, they even have the map as a poster. And you check and you play that too, and you put it on the side once you play the game and everything. I miss those days, man, you know? So now you just got to do everything digital. Oh, let me just press start, check out the map. Okay, let me go back. And yeah, so yeah, just want to say that. Pete, can you play the second voicemail or no?
Yep, voicemail one coming up.
All right.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jeremy down here in Portland. I just had a quick question. I'm a big fan of the new Mario Odyssey game. Danny, maybe you can help me out here, but I finished the game and it just kind of got me wondering, is there going to be any DLC in the future? Hopefully more characters, more levels. Love to hear your guys' thoughts. Thanks.
Well, thanks for the voicemail. There's been rumors, because Nintendo, this is the thing, Nintendo hasn't mentioned anything about DLC, but there's been rumors that people saying that they might release like new kingdoms, maybe new challenges. So usually, every time a Nintendo Switch comes out, a Nintendo Switch game comes out, and there is the DLC. So let's say for Zelda, the first DLC that came out was more for challenges, right? And then the second one is a new story about the game, something extra. And that comes like later this year, whatever. So it's the same thing with Mario Rabbids. Earlier this year, they released the challenges, right? It's like different packs of challenges and stuff. Now in January, they're going to have a new story in the game, which I'm excited. I'm going to download that and play and stuff. So Nintendo has an opportunity to make a lot of money right now because this game has been really, really successful. So I think we might hear from them about that. You know, they could easily update it and have an option there of like DLC packages there. You know, they could easily add that later in the game whenever they want. You know, so right now people are just excited about the single player game. And the thing is, for those people that don't know, once you finish the game continues. There's like other challenges you could do too. Same thing with Mario Rabbids and so on. So your thoughts, guys? I see it happening.
Has the Super Mario World team ever done DLC for any of their stuff?
I think they did for, of course, Mario Kart.
3D Mario. So like Mario World and stuff like that. Like I know Mario Maker and Super Mario Brothers and stuff like that has had DLC, but the 3D World Mario team ever done DLC for their games?
No, this might be the first one if they do that. Like, now, I did some research. I forgot to mention this. I did some research the other night, and I think once you buy the amiibos for like the special one that has like Mario, Princess Peach, and Bowser, inside there's like a map, and it has like names of the locations of the different kingdoms, right? But there's some spots that had no name in there. It's just, you see like an island in there. So people are saying that those might be like new locations that either they can unlock it or they could, you know, send like a brand new DLC for those new kingdoms in the game in the future.
I would love to see some like Nintendo themed DLC. So like give me like Squid Kingdom for like a Splatoon based one, or like a Hyrule Kingdom, or I don't know, maybe like a Monkey Kingdom or a Primate or something Kingdom that gives you like Donkey Kong themed places. That would be cool. I just don't know what the development time or the level of effort would be to have to develop to deliver something like that. But I think something like that would be really cool.
Well, you know what? This also could be possible. That could happen too. Instead of Mario, why not a brand new story with Luigi, having the same locations, but just a brand new story with just Luigi? That's possible.
That's
too,
version two.
Yeah, that would be version
that's 2.0,
yeah,
like later next year.
Yeah. I mean, this is not no spoilers, but like when you play the game, you can unlock outfits, and one of the outfits is that you can unlock. I mean, it's money, but it's Luigi. So you never know. That's possible.
My favorite is still the underwear.
That was the hook in Mario Galaxy, was you could play through the entire game as Mario. And then after you get the 120 stars, you can then play through as Luigi, and Luigi controlled differently. So it added a unique type of gameplay to it.
Essentially a new game.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I would love to see something like that in this one.
Definitely. Any other? Can we read one more question? There's any?
You'd have to read it. I can't pull off of Discord. So if there's messages in Discord or I actually got one from Grim2577. What's a good game for the Switch or PS4 that he and his quote unquote noob lady, that's his word, noob lady can play together? She loves Mario Party, but the only thing coming out like that is on a 3DS.
Mario Odyssey, because she can control the hat.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Or Mario Kart. I still, to this day, Mario Rabbids too. You could still, you know, play that together. Like Mario Kart, you could play two players. You could also go two players locally and go online and play against other players worldwide. That's good. I mean, that's a great introduction. Or like Paris said, Mario Odyssey. That would be perfect too.
How does that work? Because I haven't. That's funny. We've had the Switch. We've got Super Mario Odyssey, but we've always played single player. We've never played co-op. You control the hat. So you can just fly whenever you want. You just take off and
yeah. So one person control Mario, the other person control the hat.
That takes a lot of coordination. That sounds more difficult than anything else because I want to be able to control what happens with Mario. If I want to throw the hat, I throw the hat. That's wow. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good to know.
This one's from Mario, and he says, great interview with Albert Pinello. Hey, guys. I started listening to you again while driving to work the last few weeks. Great interview with Albert Pinello. Keep up the great content. Some questions for you guys. I've heard good things about Dolby Atmos and would like to get a headset that supports it. Have you guys tried testing any Dolby Atmos headsets? If so, is the difference demonstrably noticeable to you? What headsets would you guys recommend for each category below? Best, mid-range, best budget? Thanks. So thank you, Mario, for that question. And the headsets, people in Twitch can actually see me wearing them right now. These are the Plantronics. These are the 800LX, and they do Dolby Atmos. And it works on Windows 10, and it works on the Xbox One. So the Xbox One S and on the Xbox One X. And I can tell you, since I've started using these headsets, Dolby Atmos is amazing. It's basically because they give you the Dolby Atmos code for free when you buy these headsets. So what I did was I went to the Windows Store, put in the code, downloaded the Dolby Atmos app. You do a quick little configuration in Windows 10. I don't know how it works exactly on Xbox One, but I assume it's something similar. And then I basically enabled Dolby Atmos. And yeah, there's three different audio modes on here when I'm playing games or when I'm watching a movie or something like that. And yeah, it's a difference. It's definitely a difference because, as an example, my Lucid Sounds, my LS30s compared to these when I'm on Windows 10, these are now my PC headsets for gaming. They sound that good. Great example, Gears of War 4. When I played it the other day, I mean, I'm hearing shit everywhere, right, with these on. So it was really good. Now, to answer the other part of his question, he was asking about best, mid-range, and then budget. I'll say this for budget. Pick up the HyperX Cloud Stingers. I mean, they were $50. They're stereo headset, 3.5 millimeter jack. They're fantastic. They were $50. Retail when they first came out. I know last Black Friday you could get them for like $30 or $40, so they've got to still be around there somewhere. My son actually uses those on the PS4. He just prefers them. He plugs those in to the controller and plays that way with the stereo sound, and they're great. And I can vouch for that 100%. They're fantastic. When I'm on a conference call for work, I'll grab those and plug those into my phone and talk that way. Mic is really good. Sound reproduction is really good. You know, I know we've talked about the Lucid Sound headsets a million times as far as on the higher end, you know, the LS40s and the LS30s. So I would definitely recommend those. You know, I'm a Logitech guy. I have the G933s and the G533s. Both do DTSX sound as well as Dolby Digital sound as well. I recommend those if you're doing PC gaming. Mid-range, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure what I would recommend in the mid-range, so to speak. Unless Peter, Danny, you have some recommendations. I know Turtle Beach probably falls up in there somewhere as an example.
That's it for me. I don't know.
You're leaving it to Specs and Hardware, and Perry and Danny just checks out.
I tapped out. Unless you want to say something about that.
No, I really have nothing else to say. I mean, I'm I'm happy with my Lucid Sounds LS40s. If you're using a Dolby 7.1 card or enable or your video card or your onboard motherboard supports the audio, then yes, you can use it, but it doesn't have the Dolby Atmos unless you actually pay for it, which I think $30, Paris, correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so, something like that.
I know you got the code for it. But
yeah, and that's the great thing with the Plantronics is they give you the code, so you don't have to spend that extra money for it. And like I said, it works on the Windows Store, so it transfers over to, like, if you got it on an Xbox One, it'll transfer to Windows 10 and vice versa, Windows 10 to Xbox One.
Right.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can follow us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to follow, subscribe, or if you get the chance to post a review on iTunes and stuff, and yeah, help us out. All right. And anything else? Yeah, we see Paris here is showing something. I don't know what was that about.
He's showing his new headsets.
These are the two Plantronics headsets, because I have the 800LX and I have the 600LX. The 800LX, the ones I have on my head right now, they're completely wireless. And then the 600LX, you plug them in, 3.5 millimeter jack, but they both take advantage of Dolby Atmos on Xbox One and Windows 10.
Cool. All right, so until next time, we're out. See you later this week. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.